T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
GSP ESPN 1-844-477-3776. Write that number down this morning. Put it in your phone. That's the number to call in to the program this morning. Again, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. That's 1-844-477-3776. This is the Saturday Morning Scramble powered by Founders Federal Credit Union. Cole Bryson with you this morning. And man, what a night of high school football last night right here in the upstate. A ton of games, a ton of really, really good games. And we have a loaded show for you. The best high school football coverage you'll find on a Saturday lives right here on ESPN Upstate. Again, I'm Cole Bryson. Jed Blackwell, my co-host, is covering, I believe, cross-country this morning. I have to double-check that. Obviously, Jed is the lead preps writer for the Spartanburg Herald Journal, and he had to cover a cross-country meet this morning, so he will join us by phone, hopefully in hour number two. But Jed Blackwell not with us on the show this morning due to a work commitment, but he is out running around this morning, literally covering cross country. But man, speaking of running around crazy, last night was a phenomenal night of high school football in the upstate, and we have an absolutely loaded show for you. You talk about loaded coaches and players. I'm just telling you, we're back to back this morning. So an exciting show coming up. I'll let you know that we will hear from Lynn Fleming, the head football coach of the Broome Centurions, around 8:15, just about 10 minutes on the program. And then following that, around 8:30, we will hear from Peter Zamora. Peter is the quarterback of the Westside Rams, a transfer in from Florida who has really elevated this Westside team. Westside had a 14-13 win last night, and we'll talk about that with one of the most talented up-and-coming quarterbacks in the area, Peter Zamora, quarterback of the Westside Rams. At 8:45, we will talk to our good friend of the show, Charles Wyatt. Charles, obviously the sideline reporter for WZZQ in Gaffney. He was on the call last night for Gaffney Dorman, a huge game last night between the Cavaliers and the Indians, and I picked that one absolutely wrong. I know Dorman had a chance to win late, but I picked Dorman to win that game. They did it, and Gaffney ended up winning. I'll hit all the scores in just a minute, but just a huge night last night in the area. And speaking of a huge win for the Landrum Cardinals, Jason Farmer. Jason Farmer, head coach of the Landrum Cardinals, will join us at 9 a.m. this morning. He will talk to us, good friend of the show. And then Jed Blackwell should call us in the second hour of the program as well this morning. And then we'll wrap up the program speaking with Rick Tate, the head football coach of the Boiling Springs Bulldogs. Rick Tate and the Bulldogs had a huge win last night over Nation Ford at home. Kind of one of those wins we talked about last week on the show that you had to have because of where you were in the region. Obviously lost to Gaffney, and then Bowling Springs comes back and beats Nation Ford. So a huge win last night for the Bulldogs. Again, the Saturday Scramble presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, foundersfcu.com. That's foundersfcu.com. Whether it's auto loans, credit cards, mortgage, insurance services, investment services. They have auto loans as low as 199, mortgage loans as low as 284 APR. It's foundersfcu.com. Again, the Saturday morning scramble brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. And let's go to the scores, man. A ton of scores from last night, and we'll start with the Hillcrest Rams. Hillcrest defeated Pickens last night 28-13. Woodmont defeated JL Mann 33-7, so a big win for Woodmont. TL Hanna and Malden played last night, and I picked TL Hanna, but I did not think it would be this close. TL Hanna defeats Malden last night 14-13. So those are your scores from Region 1 5A. TL Hanna 14, Malden 13. In Region 2 5A, Riverside obviously fell to Burn 67-26. You heard that game right here on ESPN Upstate. Gaffney defeated Dorman last night 30-29, and Spartanburg had a huge win over Wade Hampton 56-26. Obviously, Riverside and Wade Hampton, the two teams in that region who will obviously struggle all season because of who they're having to play in Spartanburg, Dorman, and Burns. Region 3 5A, Boiling Springs defeated Nation Ford 45-28. Clover took down Fort Mill 21-14 in a very big region game. Clover's playoff hopes still alive. That kind of surprised me that Clover took care of business last night. In Region 4 5A, Northwestern defeated Blythewood 19-7. How Northwestern and Blythewood are in the same region, I will never know. as well as Sumter and Rock Hill. Sumter defeated Rock Hill last night 24-7. Looking down at some other scores in 5A, Easley, let's go to 4A now. Easley fell last night to Wahala 25-14. I mentioned Hillcrest defeated Pickens 28-13. Travelers Rest fell to Westside. That was the score I was talking about earlier. Peter Zamora, the quarterback, the Westside Rams will join us at 8:30 to talk about the big win last night, 13-12 over TR. Eastside fell. They are now 0-2 on the season. Greenwood took care of Eastside 42-7. Greg Porter and the Red Raiders of Greenville took down Lawrence last night 37-14. A huge, huge win for those guys. Making sure I hadn't missed anything in 4A. And 3A, Daniel defeated Pendleton 55-7. Seneca fell to Wren 63-26. And Region 2 3A, Powdersville took down Berea 57-0. And Palmetto defeated Blue Ridge last night 44-20. Southside all over Carolina 59-6. And Region 3 3A, just a huge win for Lynn Fleming, who we'll hear from in just a few minutes. And the Broome Centurions defeating Clinton 27-26. Are you kidding me? What a game for the Centurions. Also in Region 3 3A, Chapman defeated Emerald last night 49-14. And then a game with just an absolutely crazy ending that I heard all about last night was Woodruff and Union County. Woodruff defeated Union County 28-26. Union County was leading that game for the majority of the game, and I picked Union County to win, but Woodruff came back and was able to get things done last night. So a big win for the Woodruff Wolverines and Bradley Adams, 28-26 over Union County. Let's look at the rest of the scores here. Making sure that I don't miss anything here in 3A. Region 1 2A, Abbeville defeated Liberty last night 56-0. Christchurch defeated West Oak 42-0. In 2A, Landrum edges Blacksburg 29-27. We'll hear from Jason Farmer, the head football coach of the Landrum Cardinals, this morning on the program. Also in Region 2 2A, Chesney just rolls St. Joseph's 45-19 last night. A big, big win for Landrum. So those are your scores from around the area. A ton of games, and man, when I look at those scores, the first thing that pops in my head is Chesney now 2-0 after beating Legion and St. Joseph's over there in District 2. I think this Chesney football team is the real deal. I mean, you have a head coach in Clay Lewis who is now only in his second year. And Clay Lewis has this Chesney team where they need to be. So a big win last night for the Chesney Eagles. If you were at a game last night or want to talk about a game, you can call in to the show. This is a a call-in show on a Saturday morning where your thoughts matter. So we want to hear from you. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. That's 1-844-477-3776. I'll say it one more time so you can type it in your phone. 1-844-477-3776. That is the number to the Saturday morning scramble. Again, Lynn Fleming, the head football coach of the Broome Centurions, will join us on the other side. This is the Saturday morning scramble all year long presented by Founders Federal Credit Union.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Back with you on the Saturday morning scramble. That's right, every Saturday from 8 to 10, following your Friday night football here in South Carolina, powered by Founders Federal Credit Union. Glad you are with us this morning. Just a huge show coming up in this 2 hours. I don't know if 2 hours is going to be enough this morning, as there were a ton of good games last night. And speaking of good games, we now bring in our first guest of the program. He is the head football coach of the Broome Centurions, Coach Lynn Fleming. Coach, congratulations and good morning.
Oh, thank you very much, man. This is a great win for our guys.
27-26 last night. The Broome Centurions edge out Clinton. Coach, walk us through. I mean, Clinton's a team who we saw played a Thursday night game last week, I believe, due to a schedule change, and they had an extra night or an extra day of preparation, if you will. And Clinton's been playing tough this season. And, you know, with Broome, you're coming off a period where you didn't play football because of a player testing positive for the coronavirus. So you didn't have much practice this offseason, did you, Coach?
No, it's been it's been a different offseason, and it has been for everybody. Like you said, Clinton is a Coach Fountain does a great job, and you know their program's always well coached, and you know it was no different last night. I mean, it was a very tough, very physical football game, down to the very last play, and you know our guys have had a couple weeks off, and then we had to come back and get ready in pretty much 4 days to play a football game, and you know just have to get a lot of credit to our coaching staff who did a great job, and our players who, you know, just come out and prepare themselves this week to win a football game. So, you know, it was a great win for these guys.
Coach, you mentioned it, and for those that weren't there, including myself, obviously, will you walk us through how the end of that game went? It seemed like there were several games last night that came down to the last few minutes, especially yours.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a range of emotions. You know, we go from scoring on a fourth down play, go for a two-point conversion, and ball gets kind of tipped up, and one of our guys comes down with it to put us up by one. And
wow,
you know, we kick off to these guys, and they take it right back down the field, and you know, and they line up to kick a field goal with about 16 seconds left. And you know, we had a great push from up the middle. I still can't even tell who blocked it. We had a great push from up the middle with several guys, and you know, they were so gassed, you know, at the end of the game, at which they should have been, but they just weren't going to be denied. You know, they just they wanted to finish that football game, and they did it.
So Clinton had the football. Now, Coach, how much time was on the clock when Clinton got the football to start that drive? Do you remember?
Minute 19. We kicked off with a minute 26, I think, and they started the drive with a minute 19.
So Clinton has the football with a minute 19 to go. They drive down the field, and unless it was a big kick return, they were able to put together a few big plays to get in field goal range, right?
Well, they did. They had a decent kickoff return, got them back to midfield, and they put a few plays together and got it down to about the 3-yard line. They didn't have any timeouts left, and I guess that's why they chose to kick field goal on third down. Like I said, it was just, it was back and forth. That was kind of the whole night. It was back and forth, and it's just a lot of highs and lows in a football game. That's what you want from a high school football game. And those fans had a chance to come out last night, and we appreciate all the Centurion fans on the road, and they got their money's worth last night.
Coach, you're saying that Clinton had the football on the 3-yard line. That's where the ball was placed for the field goal. Is that right?
That's it. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. What a – you talk about a momentum shift, getting it down to the 3 and decided not to punch it in. Were you surprised that Clinton elected to kick a field goal on third down instead of trying to punch it in?
Well, like I said, they didn't have any timeouts. I guess their concern was, not the possibility of not getting another play. So, so it's hard to question the coach's call. And, I think it's just – one that worked out fortunately for us. You make those calls every night on Friday night, and you got about 25 seconds to make them, and you go with your gut, and he thought that was the right call, and like I said, fortunately for us, it worked out. Our guys made a play.
I was going to say, Coach, and the crazy thing about it is, if your player wouldn't have touched the ball or tipped it or blocked it, whatever it was, it would have been the right call,
That's exactly right, and that's usually how those calls go.
So. Yep, absolutely. So a huge win last night. Broome 27, Clinton 26. Coach, for those also that weren't there, who were a couple of players for the Centurions that had big nights for you guys?
Well, we had a few guys defensively. I think Drew Alford had a good night. We had a few turnovers from Marcus Lindsay, and Brian Davis had fumble recoveries, and Dylan Ramirez had an interception. And the offensive side of the ball, we had K.J. Morgan had a rushing touchdown. We had Braxton Turner had 2 receiving touchdowns. Then we had Ronald Hodges who had the touchdown, and he also the guy that caught that the tip 2-point conversion. So
wow,
we had a lot of guys that played a lot of snaps, a lot of different guys. To stay fresh, and we had a lot of guys contributed. I mean, it was you couldn't get any more of a team win than we got last night.
Absolutely. Coach, before we look at who the Centurions have next, I want to ask, from a head coaching perspective, how did you handle the 2 weeks where Broome had a positive test for coronavirus? Walk us through just how you and your football team handled that and the struggle. Obviously, we knew going into this season that it was something that we were going to have to face at some point. Some teams probably will. Some maybe will be lucky and fortunate and won't have to. But how did you and your guys handle those 2 weeks off?
Well, it was as you can imagine, it was pretty tough. We had our coaches stay in contact with our guys, and just make sure they were out exercising, staying outside. Just that was our biggest concern. These guys coming back after 2 weeks, not being in shape and not being ready. Our coaches stayed in contact, just making sure they stayed on their grades, because it was a great time to catch up on all those as well. And and our guys, they want to win. So, they did what it took during those last 2 weeks. And as a coaching staff, we were able to have our JV out there. So we got to – our guys got to go back and forth a little bit from our middle school group to our JV group. So we got 2 weeks of a really good quality time with those guys that we normally, we don't always get during the season. So, we were able to take advantage of it as coaches. And like I said, we were very blessed that our players took care of their part those 2 weeks and continue to stay in shape. But it's a difficult situation. We got a lot of schools that are going through it right now. We knew it was going to be a possibility, and it's things that we've discussed with our team. And everybody talks about overcoming adversity, and
right.
That's just part of it, and that's just something you have to do. And you hope you guys respond to it, and I think ours did.
You're right. This year, Coach, that is a form of adversity, you know, unlike years past. Hey, I've had a lot of people ask me, Coach, and I want to know, when you guys started the season, were you told by the high school league or Department of Commerce were you given a policy, okay, like if one player tests positive, you've got to shut the whole thing down for 2 weeks, or how was that situation brought about?
There wasn't really, say, a defined policy. You had you worked with DHEC. It was kind of like you deal within your schools. You know, you identified the guys, the one that tested positive, and then you identified your close contacts. And at football practice, you know, that's a hard thing to do. And, you know, when you're talking about 15 cumulative minutes over a 24-hour period, you know, that's it's hard to identify most of those guys and get them right. So, you know, we thought it was the best interest for all our guys and our community and our parents to pull the trigger and do what we did. And, you know, so like I said, we were in contact with DHEC the whole time just to make sure that we were following their guidelines and the things that they needed us to do. Like I said, the first and foremost is safety. And, you know, we just want to take care of our community.
Lynn Fleming, the head football coach of the Broome Centurions. Coach, before we let you go, man, you have a huge one next week at Union County. 3 straight road games for your Centurions at Union County, a team in Union County who's coming off of a close loss last night to Woodruff. What do you know about this Union team?
Well, just know they're going to be two things. One is they're going to be extremely athletic. You know, they always are. And they're going to be well coached. You know, Coach Thompson and his staff does a great job of you know, putting game plans together. And, you know, I know, you know, every week is a big week now. You starting off with region play, it's changed everybody's perspective and everybody's mentality and how they're going to play a football game. And, you know, it's every week is big. So, you know, we play next week, and, you know, the week after that is going to be a big one, and the week after that is going to be a big one for everybody. So, you know, everybody's, you know, they're trying to pull out all the stops now and trying to get these wins early. So, you know, you only got 2 teams that make the playoff, and everybody's fighting for those positions right now.
Absolutely. That's Lynn Fleming, the head football coach of the Broome Centurions. Coach, great stuff as always. We so much appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Cole, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate what you do, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's Lynn Fleming, the head football coach of the Broome Centurions. A big win last night for Broome, and the Centurions now looking to go on the road at Union County. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Peter Zamora, he's the quarterback of the Westside Rams, Scott Early, and those Rams had a win last night 14-13 over Travelers Rest. We'll hear from the quarterback himself right here on the Saturday Morning Scramble, powered by Founders Federal Credit Union. Back with you on the Saturday Morning Scramble. Cole Bryson with you this morning. Jed Blackwell will join us in hour number 2 to give us his thoughts on. He was at Dorman-Gaffney game last night, so a lot to get to on the show. Like I told you earlier, a loaded show this morning. A ton of guests here on the show just to give you our upstate-wide coverage. And speaking of guests, let's bring in our second guest of the program now. He is the quarterback of the Westside Rams, Peter Zamora. Peter, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, Mr. Bryson. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. A big win last night for Westside and the Rams now 2-0 on the season. And, man, you talk about a close one. 14-13 over TR. Not an offensive barrage, but it definitely was a defensive football game. Talk about last night's game and how you guys were able to edge out TR.
You're absolutely right. It was definitely a dogfight, and the defense came out to play. We just made just enough plays to win. It might not have been the greatest stat line game for either side of the ball, but we depended on each other. We supported the man to our right and to our left, and we dug deep and we fought out for the victory.
Hey, man, for those that weren't there, it was 14-13. Did Travelers Rest miss an extra point, or what happened there?
The score at one point was third was they were down by one at one point. They wanted to go for the win, so they ended up going for two. So they missed it.
Ah, gotcha. And they did not get the 2-point conversions. What you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. So Travelers Rest last night falls. Peter Zamora, the quarterback of the Westside Rams, joins us this morning on the show. Peter, listen, man, for those that don't know, you transferred into Westside during the offseason from Florida. Where exactly in Florida did you transfer from?
I transferred from Deerfield Beach, Florida.
Deerfield Beach, Florida. Man, how in the world did you come from Deerfield Beach, Florida, to the upstate of South Carolina, to Anderson? Tell us about that. I mean, was it your parents, or what brought you up here to the upstate?
Better job opportunities were presented to my parents up here in South Carolina, and my parents had to do what's best for the family. So
absolutely.
We picked up and we moved, and it's been a great experience thus far.
Talk about playing under Scott Early, a head football coach who's been around this area for a long time and had a few stops in the upstate, but now at Westside. And Westside over the past few years has struggled to get over the hump, but Scott Early's done a good job and bringing consistency to the program. What's it like playing for Coach Early?
It's definitely a blessing being able to play for Coach Early. He goes ahead and installs that winning mentality into the program right away. Having to go ahead and come in and work hard, earn everything, that nothing is given to you, that never take any opponents lightly, because they could, and any team could have a good day. So yeah. He always just keeps us ready, and he just has us prepared at all times.
Let me ask you this, man. You said you transferred from Deerfield Beach to Anderson to play for Westside. Is the football at the high school level, is it any different here than it was in Deerfield Beach? And if it is different, how so?
Definitely in South Florida, I could say that speed is definitely in abundance in South Florida. where you have all these track stars and you have all these guys that, whether they're 300 pounds or 120 pounds, they're going to be coming after you every play. But I feel like in South Carolina, I feel like it's better schematically up here. Teams go ahead and everybody doesn't run the same thing up here. I guess you could say different coaches have different schemes and different philosophies, so you really have to get your head in the film room to be able to prepare for week to week.
That's an interesting point. You talk about the differences between, you know, football up here being a little bit different schematically. Hey, you have a lot of guys around you, a lot of young players. Looks like this Westside team is going to be good for a few years. Guys like Hunter Puckett, Nehemiah Smith, and I believe someone who's pretty close to you, Peter, Marquise Gant. You've all got a lot of young players on this team and a lot of talent. Talk about these players that surround you, man.
The players that surround me, they go ahead and they love to work. That's straight up. That's just how it is. They like to work, and they love to be coached. They're very coachable, and they want to win ultimately. So whatever it takes, guys like Nehemiah Smith, Hunter Puckett, Ryan Brownlee, Owen Skelton, they want to win. They want to do what's best for the team, regardless of what that takes, as you can see last night. But that's all in all what Westside's about. We want to go ahead and lean on each other so we can win.
Listen, man, a short season, obviously, due to the coronavirus, only playing 7 regular season games. Tell us what's next on the slate for the Westside Rams.
Well, we end up playing Pendleton this Friday night, and the goal for each week is to be 1-0, because obviously with the few games that we play in the regular season, we got to make sure every game counts, because we slip up one or two games.
Yeah.
The playoff chances become quite slim, so we can't take any games for granted this season.
You're absolutely right. Hey, what month of the year was it that you transferred here, Peter?
It was actually last month, September. It was very recent. It all happened so fast, but it definitely happened in God's timing. Everything just fell in perfect place,
man.
And I couldn't have wanted it to happen any other way.
So you literally came to South Carolina last month, and did, let me ask you this: as far as the transition goes, did Scott Early at Westside, did he know you were coming, or a little bit in advance, or how did all that work out?
He knew a little bit in advance, absolutely. So when we got up there, the whole team, the whole school was very welcoming. The whole town, to be honest, was very welcoming to my coming, and we just hit the ground running.
How many weeks have you had now, just in practice? Just a few?
Yeah, only two or I think only two or three weeks.
Wow. Already going into the third game of the season in only two or three weeks. So what do you know? Do you know anything about this Pendleton team as of yet, Peter?
I was planning to start watching film right after this phone call. Definitely was. I was getting ready for the next game, absolutely. Last night was a great victory. We could think about it for the next 24 hours, but as soon as that 24-hour clock hit, time to get ready for the next opponent.
Absolutely. Hey, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Saturday Scramble, and congratulations to the Westside Rams with a huge win. Good luck the rest of the season, Peter.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Peter Zamora, the quarterback of the Westside Rams, just transferred into Westside in Anderson just a month ago. You talk about a crazy transition. Just you have two or three weeks of practice, and you've already played two games. Just such a crazy year in high school football, not only in high school football, just in general, just a lot of unknown. So, again, congratulations to Westside. Last night they win 14-13 over TR, Travelers Rest. And I said the word good game. Man, there were a ton of good games last night, maybe the best. Coming up next, we hear from Charles Wyatt, the sideline reporter for Gaffney's broadcast, WZZQ. Charles, last night, obviously on the call for a thriller in Gaffney between Gaffney and Dorman. Gaffney edges out the Cavaliers. We'll hear from Charles Wyatt up next. This is the Saturday Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Back with you on the Saturday morning scramble. Still in hour number one, final segment, however. We are rolling guest aplenty this morning on the program, getting you full coverage from last night in the Upstate. And we now want to bring in Charles Wyatt. He is the sideline reporter of the Gaffney Indian football broadcast on WZZQ in Gaffney. And Charles, man, you got to see a pretty good football game last night. I guess no complaining from you this morning, right?
Hey, man. Hey, good morning. It's good to be with you. I tell you what, that one ranks up there with one of the best. Our broadcast team was talking last night about that very thing of how, you know, in the history of Gaffney football at the new reservation, how does this game stack up? And I think it has to stack up right near the top. It was fun to watch. It'd have been great. It's a great ball game no matter what. But when your team wins, the team that you're covering wins, it makes it a whole lot better. But instant classic is the word I keep hearing over and over and over about the Gaffney-Dorman game last night.
Charles, listen, before we get into it, man, I think I mentioned this on the broadcast last night. You know, the bottom line is it's still Dorman Gaffney, but I said I can't remember a time in a long time that a Dorman Gaffney game has never meant so little, you know, in terms of playoffs.
And I keep telling people, and Coach Jones did allude to it last night, people kept saying that, you know, this game doesn't really mean anything. Well, let me tell you what it means for Gaffney. You know, they've been knocked out of the upper state championship two straight years.
Absolutely.
By Dorman. And so there's that revenge factor. But as far as the seedings and playoffs and things, it doesn't really mean anything. But I think it really meant everything in the world to Gaffney last night. And what I mean by that is there's a mental block with Gaffney and Dorman. You know, the big rivalry used to be Gaffney-Spartanburg, and then it'll always be Gaffney-Burns. But there's a big rivalry between Gaffney and Dorman now, but it's very lopsided because Dorman has kind of owned Gaffney recently. I think Gaffney last night had to either win that game or play it very, very close. So either way, it would have worked out for Gaffney. But I think mentally they had to win this game or almost win this game to know that come playoff time that they had a chance against Dorman. Cole, if you remember last year, Gaffney just blew through the playoffs and, you know, just romped a Sumter team that was undefeated. You and I know we were there. Gaffney kind of manhandled Burns in the playoffs. And I remember after the Burns game telling you, hey, man, if we play like this against Dorman, we can beat anybody in the state. And I really felt last year like Gaffney was beat when they got off the bus over at Dorman because they had been beaten by Dorman in the regular season pretty handily. Then Dorman did it to them again in the playoffs. Gaffney by far played their worst game of the season in that playoff game. So I think this game last night meant everything in the world to Gaffney weeks ahead from now because these two teams are going to meet again. And if Gaffney had lost that game, especially if they had lost handily, Cole, I don't know that Gaffney would have had the physical, I mean, the mental capacity to stack up with him in the playoffs. So while it wasn't playoff implication football last night for Gaffney, it kind of got them over that dormant hump. And what a way to do it. That was the craziest fourth quarter I can remember in a long time. And that last Dorman drive where they missed the field goal is one of the craziest possessions. You're down at the four-yard line about to win the ball game, and then you wind up having to kick a 34-yard field goal because of a bad snap. It was just absolutely madness last night.
We're going to walk through that last series in a second, Charles, but real quick, you said something.
Yeah.
You said Dorman's had Gaffney's number. You know the good thing about that is for Gaffney's sake, Charles, Dorman's had everybody's number, you know, in the past.
True?
So,
people say all the time, Cole, how's Dorman so good at everything? I mean, especially football, basketball. I'm like, because they've got, you know, 3,500, 3,600 kids over there to pick from. And so, you know, that's almost a 4A school bigger than the other 4A schools. So, and of course, Coach Gutshaw does such a great job over there. But you're right, they've had everybody's number, I guess, but Dutch Forks. But Gaffney's just really struggled against. Hadn't really played well against Dorman at all for the last couple of years. So it was a fun one to see last night.
All right, so let's go to the game, Charles. Obviously, I was following along with it on Twitter. Jed Blackwell, who is the co-host here on the show, he's covering cross country this morning. But following along on Twitter, you see that Gaffney answers with like a minute 47 to play. Andre Lindsay found Pesor for the tie. The PAT was good. So that made it 30-29 Gaffney over Dorman. So it was 30-29, a minute 47 to play, Charles. Walk us through what happened in that last minute 47.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so Gaffney, like you said, goes ahead. And Gaffney had trouble in the kicking game again last night. It was more to do with the holder and snapper exchange, but they had struggled. But yeah, AJ Haynes came through, and so he put Gaffney up by one with about, like you said, about a minute 47 to go. Dorman takes over at their own 37-yard line, and then they have an intentional grounding penalty, so that backs them up. And so Gaffney kind of breathing a little easier, backs them up 15 yards, and then Zay Foster, he found Jonathan Frazier, he completed a big pass to him, gets into Gaffney territory, and the Gaffney defensive back was just burned, and that's what it came down to. Completes the pass down to the Gaffney 9-yard line.
To
the 9-yard, and it gets better.
Wow.
It gets better. Chance Black, who rushed for like 207 yards or so, he was a machine last night. He has another carry, Cole, down to the Gaffney 4.
Okay, now let me stop you.
Yep.
Well, it's a 4-yard line. How much time is left in the ball game?
In the ball game, probably right at a minute, maybe a little less than a minute to go.
About a minute at the four-yard line.
We're beat. I mean, we've gone from celebration mode to, oh, man, at least we played them close, and, hey, maybe we'll see them in the playoffs again. And here's what happens. And, Cole, you've heard of this. Remember at the old reservation they always talk about the ghost? The ghost would come out every once in a while and help Gaffney, whether it was Spartanburg fumbling at their own 1-yard line in a playoff game. Well, the ghost made its way back over to the new reservation because here's what happens. After they get down to the 4-yard line, ball snapped over the quarterback's head. He fumbles it. And I think it went out. I'm not real sure. It was such a blur. It may have even been a direct snap. Tried to be a direct snap to Chase Black. Sails over his head, a loss of 24 yards.
Oh,
so now instead of being at the Gaffney 4, Dorman's got the ball at the Gaffney 29-yard line. So you think, okay, all right, maybe this thing's over. Boom, they complete a pass real quick to the 17-yard line, but they have no timeouts left. And so
hold on, let's stop right there.
Yep.
So they have a bad snap, gets them back to like the 24.
Yep.
They complete or 29. They complete a pass to the 17.
17 over the middle instead of going
Dorman
to the sideline.
Still down one, has the ball at the 17-yard line. How much time is on the clock right here, Charles?
12 seconds. And they had no timeouts. They rushed their
field
goal.
What down was it?
It was, let's see, when they hit the they called a timeout. It was third down, and then they kicked the ball. It was fourth down when they kicked the field goal.
So they couldn't clock it.
So it just worked out perfectly for Gaffney that no timeouts, fourth down, can't clock it. They rush Omar Khan, and, man, you know how good he is. I mean, he's all but automatic. So in a normal situation, the game would still have been over because from 34 yards, this guy's pretty much automatic. But they're rushing to try to get out there. Gaffney's trying to rush their kick defense out on the field, and they just rushed it. He got the kick away. It sailed wide left by a mile. He missed it by probably 10 yards wide left. Just in that rush, they got the ball down. I don't know if he got the laces spun around or not. And then this complete bedlam. As the clock expired, it sails wide to the left over at the reservation. It was the craziest possession that I've seen at that place in a long, long time. But it was over, Cole. I mean, it was absolutely
right.
Over.
They had it at the four.
Had it at the four.
Well, wow.
It was probably about a minute to go. First down at the Gaffney four, and then it all just falls apart for Dorman. And so you would think, well, maybe Gaffney kind of escaped, with a win. Did they really kind of earn it? Yeah, it was a great game. But there was one point, Cole, backing all the way up into the first half, Gaffney could have easily, it was 7-7 at halftime. It could have very easily at one point been 21-7 Gaffney. They missed a couple of balls that would have been touchdowns. They dropped them. The receivers just had a bad night in the first, at least had a bad first half. Had two field goals. So those resulted in some field goals for Gaffney instead of touchdowns. Should have been chip shots. Holder, snapper exchange, terrible on those two kicks. Gaffney misses both field goals. So Gaffney kind of won the first half, and then they just slugged it out in the fourth quarter.
That's unbelievable, Charles. Did Dorman burn their timeouts early in the second? I'm just surprised that with Dave Gutshaw, Dorman didn't have a timeout right there.
Exactly, and they did burn them. I don't exactly remember the situations that they had them burning those timeouts. But and then Dorman had a lot of penalties last night too. And we talked about it on our broadcast that that's not a normal Dave Gutshaw team that commits that many penalties. They had to, listen to this. They had Gaffney had two penalties, 13 yards. Dorman, 12 penalties, 96 yards.
Ooh.
And so that was some big ones. I also want to remind folks too, and I know you probably heard about it too, but. We, the broadcast team and the Gaffney folks, thought the game was over in the third quarter when Andre Lindsay went down, our senior quarterback went down with a head-to-head shot with Dorman. Please let me preface this by saying it was not a cheap shot.
Right.
Andre dropped his head. The defender dropped his head. It was nothing intentional.
Yep.
But he drops his head. And I thought he was unconscious. He was not. But I thought it would be a concussion. It was
wow.
not. I walked over as they did the concussion testing. He checked all the boxes. But I said,
okay.
Last thing that he's going to do is run. He was just fine.
That's awesome.
Game.
Hey, Charles, we're up against the break, man. I appreciate you joining us this morning. Great stuff as always, Charles.
Hey, fun stuff, man. It's glad to be with you. Thank you for everything you and ESPN Upstate does for high school football. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. You. That's Charles Wyatt, sideline reporter for the Gaffney Indians.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.